tumors shrinking, sickle cell not being seen, people getting jobs right after the interview. Any day now. In fact, stop fighting with your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm next. I'm going to be testifying soon. I'm going to be testifying soon about the goodness of God. I'm going to be testifying soon about being debt-free. I'm going to testify soon about, listen, about being healed in my body. I'm going to testify soon any day now. Any day now. Grab those Bibles. Any day now. Any day now. Any day now. My goodness. Any day now. Deacon said his daughter going to be cancer-free in 2024. Any day now. 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 John chapter 15. Any day now. Any day now. My goodness. Tumors drying up. Can you imagine the look on those physicians' faces when they looked at the scans and the tumors done dried up? What in the world? Ooh. Amen. No shade to any physicians. No shade to our SIU medical students. But I know somebody that knows somebody. Ooh, my. Any day now. My goodness. John chapter 15, just one verse, verse 7, John 15 and 7. Wow. My. I'm still stuck. The tumor is gone, Sister Baker. Like, where in the world is it? What did he do to that, Reverend? I mean, this tumor gone? I mean, baby born with sick cell, and they go back, and it looks as if her body has never had it. Not a trace of it. Where does that happen? Where do they? Sister Tammy back there waving her hand, and she's cancer free. What doctors thought they saw, they done got everything out. What? How in the world? Sister Betty testified in Sunday school a few weeks ago that they told her that she had diabetes and stuff, and told her what to do, and she did what they said to do. They went back, they said that it looked as if she's never had diabetes before in her body. What in the world? What kind of God is this? It's healing tumors and sickle cells and little babies and cancer being dried up. And what kind of God? I'm stuck. John 15 and verse 7. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. Can I read it again? He said, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I apologize that the preacher keeps making me talk to you. But the preacher's gonna preach about how to get your prayers answered. How to get your prayers answered. Father, we thank you now. For we testify with no glory to our own, but all the glory to you. You're the only one that after 4 years can remove tumors. You're the only one, oh God, from birth that can be able to heal as if it was never there. So, Father, we place our confidence in you. And I pray, God, that someone's faith is stirred this morning to hear what you are able to do. And I'm so glad to know, Father God, that just because of your ability to be able to perform miracles for someone else does not mean that you have less ability to be able to do it for us. You have all power in your hands. So, Father, as we come to your word this morning, we come with great expectation and anticipation that you are going to speak to us. You're going to give us what we need. And I thank you, Father, that you even have a way of giving us what we don't even know that we need when we need it. That's why we thank you for your word, that you give us what we need and don't even realize that we need it. May we be challenged through your word. May we be convicted through your word. May we be encouraged by your word. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. How to get your prayers answered. We are experiencing God performing miracles right in front of our eyes. We are seeing what one author calls the power of using congregational authority as we come together to pray in believing God to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask, think, or wish, or imagine, or dream. We're in this vein of prayer that we are seeing God intervene and move on his behalf for just ordinary people. I mean, just common folks. We are in this vein of experiencing supernatural moves of God that we're seeing him do it now. Everybody say now. And it's so important, saints of God, that as we are experiencing God do these amazing things in front of us, around us, next to us, that we don't get so common with the access of prayer that we view it as a magic genie. It's important, believers of God, that we don't get so common, that we don't get so comfortable with the access that we have to the Father through prayer, that we see this as a vein to be able to just say whatever so that we can be able to get what we want, that we don't see this as a moment of naming and claim it. Come on, that's good. Teach us. But that we recognize and realize the fact that God has a responsibility and that we have a responsibility. Here in John chapter 15, the writer John shows us the responsibilities that you and I have as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ. I like the way Pastor Tony Evans defines that discipleship, a disciple, is that those who are learning how to live all of life under the authority of Jesus Christ. That as we're learning how to do all of that, that we're not leaving out anything, and we especially are not leaving out our prayer life. And not just our prayer life, saints of God, please hear me in what I'm saying this morning, but that we make sure that the language of prayer that we are speaking and saying, that it lines up with God's word. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Please hear me this morning, saints of God. It is so vitally important that if we want to experience God answering our prayers, there is a posture that you and I must be in order for him to be able to answer our prayers. I was struggling this morning in my office just thinking about some things that I'm believing God to do just in my life, in the life of our church. And I realized as I'm talking to God, as I'm writing things out before him, I recognize the fact that in this moment, God is answering my prayers backwards. I don't like when God answers my prayers backwards. I'm asking him for one thing,
But what I'm asking him for, I know that he has the power, Dr. Lane, to be able to do just that. But in the meantime of me asking him for a certain thing, Dr. Saunders, he's also recognizing, Swims, there's some development that I need to do in you first before I give you what you have been asking me for. And in the process of that, he is teaching me patience. Oh, God. And I don't like it whatsoever because I'm seeing all around me, okay, God, you did it there, you did it here, you're doing it for that person. God, you're doing it there, you're doing it for that person. And God is just still reminding me, hey, Swims, I have not forgotten about you. I know the plans and the purpose that I have for you to be able to prosper and to do well. But before I do that, I have to develop patience on the inside of you. So I'm going to answer your prayers back. That before I answer, there's some growth that I have to do in you first. And in order for that growth to be able to happen in you first, there is something that I need you to do in order for the growth to be able to happen. Now, let me come out the gate and say this. I know some may get mad when I say it, but it's all cool in the game. Listen, we have to always remember about the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign. He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, without consulting with anyone. Saints of God, this is such a special ingredient to our prayer life. Let's grow this morning. God is sovereign. He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and he never has to run it by a board or a committee or a person. He's God. He is his own CEO. He's his own executive producer. He can do what he wants when he wants. And so we have to make sure that as we're praying to God, as we're believing God, as we're having faith in God, that we have to remember the sovereignty factor. Everybody say the sovereignty factor. That I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm trusting, I'm relying upon him. But yet still, I have to use wisdom and leave room for space for God to be God. Because here's what I've realized in my journey of walking with the Lord. I've realized that before God sometimes answers many of our prayers, there is intentional growth that has to happen on the inside of us first. Because he realized to give us certain things and there's no growth could be bad stewardship on our end. He recognizes that, yes, I see, I hear, and I'm going to reply and I'm going to do, but yet still there's some growth I got to do on you first. There's something that I need for you to do first before I do what you desire for me to do. Jesus makes it simple. He says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for anything you want and it be granted. Two things here that this one verse shows us how to be able to get our prayers answered. Two things, everybody say two. Two things right here in verse 7 that Jesus tells us that you and I must do if we want to see our prayers answered. We get our prayers answered, it's real simple, simple, saints of God, when we abide in him. We get our prayers answered when we abide in him. Listen, abiding in him, abiding isn't solely about achieving an answer prayer, but it's also about our spiritual growth and development. Us abiding in him, us staying connected to him, is not just merely so that you and I can have an answered prayer, but it also has to include spiritual growth and development. Okay, here we go. Sunday school 101. John starts off in John chapter 15. Jesus starts talking in verse 1. Look at what he says in verse 1. He says, I am the true grapevine. My Father is the gardener. This is so important right here, just in this first verse. Why does Jesus say that I am the true vine? Because he recognizes recognizes the fact that many of us will get ourselves connected to things that we think is the true vine, but it's not. He says, hey, I have to make sure that I distinguish myself, because there are some other grapevines out there that may look good, that may sound good, that may even offer some good stuff, but I have to designate myself as the true vine. So that there won't be any miscommunication, so that there won't be any misguidance, so that there won't be any issues. I have to distinguish myself as the true vine. He says, my father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches to bear fruit so that they will produce even more. Look at what he says there. He says, hey, the goal in every believer's life, the goal that Jesus has for every believer is not just so that your prayers can be answered. He says the goal that Jesus has for every believer is for you to go from bearing some fruit, from no fruit to some fruit, to even more fruit. So he has an intentional development plan that he has for you and I as believers of Jesus Christ. He says, my Father, God is the vine dresser. He says, Jesus, I am the vine, and we, the saints of God, the people of God, we are the branches. Look at what he says. Look at verse 2. He says, he cuts off every branch that does not produce fruit. So the gardener, which is God, is committed and dedicated to the growth of the branch. And he says, since I'm so dedicated to the growth of the branch, I am watching very intently at the vines to make sure that if there's anything that may get in the way of causing them not to be able to produce fruit, I'm going to cut that stuff away to make room for them to be able to grow. Saints of God, could it be that as we're on the journey, because I'm not contradicting myself. I know God is just still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or wish, dream, or imagine, according to the power that works within us, that he's able to do those things now. But could it be that on this journey of God answering our prayers, as we're on the edge of miracles, that he is so committed and dedicated to our growth that before he answers another prayer, he's examining and he's cutting. He's cutting, he's cutting, he's examining, and he's trimming away the unnecessary so that we can be able to produce more fruit. Can I tell you something? Cutting is never comfortable, but it's necessary. Cutting is never convenient, but it's necessary. Could it be that some things that we have been relying on, could it be that some things that we have been looking to as our true vine that has been a false vine that Jesus is using this time right now, that God is being the master gardener, and trimming away everything that we think that we need get us to where we can lean and depend solely upon him as our source. He says he cuts away every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and prunes the branches to bear fruit so that it will produce even more. You have already been pruned. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Wow, Jesus. So you're saying, Master, that in order for my prayers to be answered, I got to stay connected to the true vine. So you saying, Master, that in order for my prayers to be answered, that success cannot be determined by my own efforts, by my own ambitions, by own about. It cannot be based off of what I'm able to do in my own power. Are you saying, great master, that in order for me to experience great success in my life, in fact, let me go ahead and put it this way, in order for me to be able to sustain and to have longevity and success in life, are you saying that it has to be rooted and grounded in me staying connected to the vine? He says, because look at this, look at the text, y'all, look at the text. This is Jesus talking. It's in red. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So Jesus is saying, I'm able and equipped to answer your prayers. However, thank you, Reverend, it's challenging to do what you desire for me to do when you've cut yourself off of the vine because you got impatient. It's challenging for me to do what you have prayed, and you on the edge, on the cuff of me doing it. But because you saw another way, and you took that way, instead of waiting patiently on me, because here it is, saints of God, God will give us the grace to wait. God will grace us to be patient. God will give us, I wish I had the witness in here. God will give you the grace to wait. If you can be still and wait on God, God will give you the grace to be able to wait. He can be able to give you the grace to wait with a good attitude. He can give you the grace to wait to have a good demeanor. He will give you the grace to wait when he's answering prayers of others all around you, that you can be able to celebrate them and not be a hater and be upset, but you can recognize the fact, oh, God did it for them. I know I'm next. I know my time is coming. I don't know when. I don't know how. I just know that any day now God is going to do it. But until then, I'm going to wait patiently on God to deliver. Because here's the thing, sister God, it is better to wait on God than to wish you had waited. Can I get some help in here this morning? It is good. It is good. I will never forget. That was a soup that caught my eye. Oh, God. Here we go. I took a trip down to East St. Louis. Oh, my goodness. I got off at State Street. Praise God. And I walked into the store. There was a soup there that had my name on it. It had my name. Oh, it had my name on it. Oh, yes, it did. It had my name on it. I mean, I saw the shirt. Everything gracefully. I mean, everything. It was the divine providence of God, Reverend. Everything came together, the shirt, the tie, the size. Oh, they had someone there that could do the alteration. I said, I'm going to Sister Golden because she knows how I like my stuff. I said, you ain't got to alter nothing. Just give me the stuff. And I saw it, and I kept going back and forth about the price of it. Uh-huh. I'm sitting there, almost playing double dutch. I'm just waiting. I'm like, oh. I said, man, that price, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. You know, it's a little bit different than then. Sister Swims and I, we were just dating. We wasn't married. Amen. She had her own place. I had my own. She had her own bills. I had my own bills. There were no kids and stuff around. So I'm just going back and forth. I mean, I'm single. I can do this right now. Yeah. And so I went. I got the suit. Got the suit altered. Oh, man, I was looking good. Head, I just got freshly shaved. I was looking good, y'all. Couldn't tell me nothing. Only for me to return back to that store a few months later, and lo and behold, that suit was on sale. If I had waited, but because I was in such a rush, I was in such a hurry, if I had, it is better to wait on God than to wish you had waited on God. God, give me the patience to wait. That should be our prayer. God, give me the patience to wait. God, give me the patience to wait. God, I want to wait with the right attitude. I want to wait with the right posture. I want to wait with the right demeanor. I want to wait, oh God, where I can celebrate others when you're doing it for them in their lives. God, I want to wait in the right way. He's saying,
So he's saying, I can help you to wait the right way if you stay connected to the vine. If you stay connected to the vine. He says, because you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Let me help us out real quick, saints of God. And please hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. The goal for every believer of Jesus Christ, thank you, Holy Ghost, is not to be successful. The goal of every believer of Jesus Christ is to be fruitful. I'm not knocking success. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't record those 15 seconds and then put it out there on social media for Larry Reed Live to come coming for me. No. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Every believer's goal should not just be success, because sometimes success is just based off of me and my abilities.
That's it.
Sometimes success is built off of what I'm able to do, but God, help me to be fruitful. Because in order for me to be fruitful in this life as a believer of Jesus Christ, I have to stay connected to him. So the goal of every believer in life, not just in getting our prayers answered, but the goal of every believer in life is for us to be fruitful. And the only way that we're able to be fruitful is by us remaining in him. So really what Jesus is getting at is relationship. Really what Jesus is getting at is intimacy. So he's saying, okay. It is great to give your boo a shout out on social media. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with celebrating someone publicly. However, it's not so much what you do in public. The weight of it is what you do when no one else is looking. So Jesus is saying, I want relationship with you. It's great that you come out on Sundays. It's great that you participate in Sunday school. It's great that you participate in Bible study. It's great that you're involved in small groups. That's what everybody's able to see you and what you're doing.
Right.
But what matters the most is when you're in your prayer closet with me.
Right.
What matters the most is when I see you waking up in the morning to spend time with me. What matters the most is when I wake you up at a certain time in the morning, and instead of scrolling on your phone, you turn and say, okay, Holy Spirit, here I am. Your servant is listening. Abiding in him is based off of a continual relationship with him that's based off of not the results, but in it, I'm going for more of you. So, Father, before you even answer my prayers, God, I'm abiding in you because I need more of you. I need you to do more in me. I'm giving myself over to you, Father, so that you can do a work in me that nobody else can do. I know we got positions. I know we got titles. I know we got a little change, amen, in the bank, and taxes ain't even hit yet. Look at God. I know. But you still need to remain in him. I know people know your name. I know folks recognize you for the work that you do. I understand. But you still need to be connected to him. I know you have degrees. You're working on degrees. Go ahead with your bad stuff. God give you the grace to finish the degrees. But yet still, you need to remain in him. I know you know some folks that know some folks that know some folks, but you still need to remain connected in him. There is no room in the life of a believer to ever think that we can disconnect ourselves from the vine and be able to survive. There is nothing in the life of a believer that suggests
that I can do this thing on my own. Jesus doesn't mix words. He says, you cannot, you will not, you won't be fruitful unless you remain in me. So let me ask this question. Are you connected to the vine? Let me change it up. Are you connected to the true vine? Are you abiding in him just for an answered prayer? Or you are abiding in him because you realize that he has an intentional plan to be able to grow you? Because sometimes, before God answers our prayers, there's some cutting that he needs to do with our character. Oh, God, okay, maybe I'm the only one. Okay. Maybe sometimes the cutting that has to be done is with our character. And he recognizes, I can do it now. I can answer now. But if they don't give me the space to work on their character, they will ruin what I desire to do in their life. There's no room, there's no space in the life of a believer to ever think that whatever you're doing in life, that you can do it on your own. You read one book, and now can't nobody tell you nothing. Without abiding in him, there's no way. There's no way you can have a successful marriage. Without remaining in him, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way you could parent your kids. Oh, come on, like kids and children's church, y'all can say amen with me this morning. Without remaining in him, there's no way you can be fruitful as a single person. Without remaining in him, there is no way that we can be good stewards of what God has placed in our hands. There is no room in the life of a believer, no matter how long you've been saved, what your title may be, how much you give, how many times you show up, how many ministries you serve in. There is no room in the life of a believer that thinks that gets us to understand that we can do it all on our own. He says you can't be fruitful unless you abide and remain in me. Look at what he says in verse 5. I'm almost done here. Yes, I am the true vine. Dr. Lane, you're supposed to say, take your time, Pastor, take your time. You're supposed to say, Zion said, okay, somebody said, okay, I just need that extra help. I need that extra boost. Thank you, Reverend. Thank you, Brother Victor. Thank you, thank you. That's it, Dr. Lane. I appreciate it. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. God, Jesus is not playing. First he says, you can't be fruitful without me. Then he comes along and says, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Why? Because he's painting the picture with the grapevine to allow us to understand that it is through the vine's connect, it is through the branch's connection to the vine that it has life to do what it needs to do. It is the vine that gives purpose to the branch so that the branch could be fruitful in all that it does. That's why he has to say, I am the true vine. Because we will get ourselves connected to a title. We'll get ourselves connected to a position. We'll get ourselves connected to people. We'll get ourselves connected to a job. That if you were to die tonight, they'd send flowers to the church. They'd be calling for a loved one to come and box your stuff up because they've already hired someone. In fact, they already have someone in the shadows to come and take your place anyway. So if I have myself connected to a job and a position, what happens to me if they say, you know what, your time is up here? Connected to a person and they say, I no longer want to be with you. What happens to you now? If your vine is your money, what happens when you look into your account and you have zero? What happens? That's why Jesus said, oh, I'm the true vine. There's some other stuff out there. It will offer you a good time. There's some stuff out there to offer you some good stuff, but I'm the true vine. I'm the only one that can back up everything that I'm saying. He says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Abiding isn't solely about achieving an answer prayer, but it's about our spiritual growth. It's about our spiritual growth. Verse 6, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useful branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Now, when Jesus says that, he's not talking about salvation, for we know we can't lose our salvation. Once we say, hey, it's a done deal. However, don't mean that you abuse the grace of God either. Amen. And just live how you want to live and do what you want to do. That's not what he's saying. But because he is the master gardener and has put purpose and time into cultivating, he cuts away certain vines. Why? Because if those vines stay long enough and it's not growing and it's not prospering, it will begin to interfere with the growth of the other branches on the vine. He says, oh, I have to get rid of the useless branches. Because if I don't, it will start to impact everything else. Gathered in the pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, verse 7, we're almost out of here, and my words remain in you, you may, Everly, that was a wrong hallelujah when I said I'm almost done, baby. That wasn't you supposed to say. I appreciate you being honest, but dang. I mean, it ain't even 11. Can you at least get me to 11:40? That's my girl. Everly helped me preach every week. I know, I love it. That girl said, hallelujah, strong. She said, that is the highest praise, Reverend. Yes, it is, at the right time. Lord. This girl got me out the spirit. Here we go. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it be granted. Here's the second thing. We get our prayers answered when his word abides in us. We get our prayers answered when his word abides in us. Why is this so vitally important? Because when I have a relationship, my relationship is centered around him. And as I build intimacy in that relationship, and as I continue to build this relationship, so we build our walk with God, we build our relationship with the Lord through reading his word, through prayer, through worship, through fasting, through these spiritual disciplines that helps us in building intimacy in our relationship with God. Now, the word plays such a huge part in that, because as I continue to allow his word, as I continue to come in contact with his word, I'm not just reading just to read. I'm reading his word so that I can be able to allow those words that are in the book to become alive in me and to do transformation in my heart. I'm not reading the word of God like a book so that I can be able to get through it. I'm not just reading just for knowledge. I'm reading for knowledge and for wisdom so that I can be able to apply his word to my life. David said it best. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. David said, I realized I have to have that word down on the inside of me, memorize, because there may be moments where my flesh may be tempted that the word is going to be so powerful that it will pull me out and stop me from falling prey to some things that I think that I want to do or that I think that I need to do. So he says, I gotta have the word. I like the way Dr. Tony Evans says it. He says, simply, we have to meditate on the word of God. We have to chew the word of God. We have to swallow the whole word of God and allow the word of God to transform our lives. I have to allow the word of God to be a priority in my life based off of it, because of how powerful the word is, that I allow for that to be the determining factor of everything I do in life. Do we see that sense of God? He said, when I allow for his word to abide in me, and I allow for the word, when I allow for his word to abide in us, it simply means I'm making the Bible my home. And when I make the Bible my home, it means that everything in my life, I'm centering it around his word. I'm centering it around his word. So in other words, that as I'm in his word, as I'm studying his word, as I'm reading his word, it begins to impact my prayer life, because as I get more in tune with the word of God and what God desires for me, then my desires will begin to align with his desires, and I will get the answers that I desire, because I'm not asking anything outside of his word. But what I'm asking, it lines up with his word. Asking according to what his word says. So when you hear me say that I don't know when, I don't know how, but that hope was going to be a debt-free church, just make sure I'm at the right place. That when I say that I'm believing God for $375,000, that'll pay off this building and the park lot, I'm not saying it just so that we can say and celebrate that we're a debt-free church, but that we can use that money to make a greater impact more than what we're already doing. So in me praying that, it helps me when the word of God, thank you, Holy Spirit, when the word of God is the center of my prayers, it helps me not to pray selfish prayers. But that the aim and the goal and the result of my prayer is for my happiness, but not for me to be fruitful. When his word is abiding in me, I can boldly ask, because what I'm asking lines up with his word. So that's why I almost danced when Deacon Baker said that his daughter is going to be cancer-free this year. Why? Because he's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. It's simple. It lines up with his word. When our prayers are centered around his word, it helps us not to pray self-centered, selfish prayers. When his word abides in us, we make the Bible our home. Here's a big idea, and I'm done. I like what Pastor David Platt said. He says, when we're asking for things according to God's word, or asking for what we want based on God's word, grounded in what he said, then we have the freedom to ask in confidence that he will answer. Let me say it again. When we're asking for things according to God's word, or asking for what we want based on God's word, grounded in what he has said, then we have the freedom to ask in confidence that he will answer. This is why we pray big. This is why we pray bold. Because what we're asking of the Father is centered around his word. And because it's centered around his word, because it's based on his word, I have the freedom and the confidence to ask, but not just ask. Believe that he is going to answer our prayers. How does God answer our prayers? By us abiding in him. By us remaining in him, realizing that it's in him that we live, move, and have our being. That in him that we recognize the fact that he has a spiritual growth plan for all of us, that we may produce more fruit and be fruitful in all that we do. How do we get answers to our prayers? When we allow for his word to abide in us. That we make the word of God a priority in our lives. We center what we do around what his word says. That is how we get answered prayers. That is how we see God do the impossible in our lives. That's how we pray big and bold. Because we're standing on his word. We ain't got no other choice but to stand on his word. And when we do that, we hear testimonies of tumors being gone. Bodies being healed. Yes, and the good news is there's more testimonies to come. Yeah. We got 2 more Wednesdays of corporate prayer. I've been so excited because as we've been praying on Wednesdays, we see the results of it on Sundays. Okay, maybe I've been the only one. I said, because we have been praying on Wednesdays, I'm seeing the results of it on Sundays. Somebody said, well, I don't see nothing. Come on Wednesdays so that you can see the result of Wednesday on Sunday. We got 2 more Wednesdays. This Wednesday, we're praying for singles. Praying for singles. Next, the following Wednesday, last Wednesday, we're praying for families. I want you to bring pictures, names of loved ones that you believe in God to save. I want you to bring pictures, names of those that may be sick and you need God to heal them. I want you to bring names and pictures of children that you may have that may be in trouble, far away from God, no desire, not even thinking about God. We're going to call their names out, and we're going to believe God to reconcile some situations and families. We're going to believe God to restore some relationships. We're going to believe God to move on behalf of families. And we're going to end it with a shout, thanking God as if it's already done, as we do every week, as if he's already, because why? Everything we're asking is centered around this word. We can bring it back to the word and show it. That's what we believe in God for. Because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask, think, wish, dream, or imagine, according to the power that works on the inside of us. God is up to something big here.
And I'm excited that we're seeing the manifestations of God's power. God's power. Whatever you've been praying for, whatever you've been believing, don't stop. But I want to challenge you to go back to his word. And ask yourself the question, have I been praying selfishly or have I been praying what his word says? And if you have been praying selfishly, it's all cool because I've done it too. Go back, repent, ask for forgiveness, start right, and connect it with the word. And here it is. Don't be trying to squeeze. Don't be trying to make something fit that don't fit. Try to connect the scripture and you take it out of context. Just so didn't get what you want. But make sure that it's centered around his word.